Isn't it? We are so blessed with the colors, and I love the season of fall, autumn. It's beautiful. My husband loves the way it smells. I was like, you know, yeah. Depend on where you're walking, right? Can we love him this morning? Hallelujah. We love you and praise you, Lord. We give you glory. You are a great God, and we're so thankful to be in your house today. Lord, touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord. Let us just touch and reach you today. Open our hearts, Lord, to your word today, Lord. You are so great, so good. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh, we worship you and exalt you, Lord. Bless, Lord, and you know what each one needs today. Let them have, Lord, in the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Today's lesson is on the parable of the lost sheep. And so thankful. Before I get into the lesson, I just wanted to segue with October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Yay! We're so thankful to the Glovers. So thankful, so appreciative. And I just wanted to just talk about the role that they play in our church just for a few minutes. And I thought it was very fitting because this is Pastor Appreciation Month. Just that they work so tirelessly, 24/7, 365 days a year. And I was going to ask you how many years you've been here and then do the days of how many days. How many days would that have been? How many nights would that, you know, how many nights is that? Thank you for every sermon, every Bible study, every prayer list, every email, text, call, all the ways you encourage the church. Individually and collectively, we're so thankful. And we, thank the Lord, are the recipients of being blessed by you. And we're so thankful, so thankful. And I noticed, of course, if you haven't picked this up yet, I have a copy. We have an extra one because I just grabbed it. But this lovely 20 scripture-based prayers for pastor. And this is very nice. If you haven't seen it yet, it's very nice, very good. And that's how one way that we can be a blessing to Pastor and Sister Glover is by keeping them in prayer and keeping them covered and just speaking God's word over their lives and their families' lives. That God would, and I just want to take a minute, just that God would encourage you to just continually encourage you. To give you this deep sense of hope always that he would put people in your lives that would protect you and cover you with the blood of Jesus Christ, that he would just continually restore and feed your souls. And you know what? As a church, we can pray against discouragement. We can pray against fear. We can pray against weariness. That God would uplift your spirits, uplift you, encourage you in your trials, in the church trials, recharge you when you're feeling overwhelmed, that God would do that, and I know he can, that he would continually put hope in you and renew your strength like we read in Isaiah 40:31. Pray that God would give you the motivation, the vision, and the ministries would continue to launch and thrive in our church. I just pray that God would allow you to have just such a huge reach in our community, in our church, and I'm going to say the world, because I know it does. That you continue to be that light and that hope, that light and that hope, that you would have the perseverance, the insight, the inspiration. I have so many wonderful things written down here, that your faith would increase, that you would draw closer to Jesus Christ, that you would be on guard and stand fast and firm in the faith, to be courageous, to be strong, like 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, that God would satisfy your thirst and that he would fill you, that you would stay filled, that you are ready at all times. And that's so hard, ready at all times to do the good work of Jesus Christ. That just so thankful for both of you. So thankful that you have been equipping and encouraging the church using your spiritual gifts, your talents, your skills, your time, that God would just continue to strengthen you and encourage you to continually, I've never met more humble people in my entire life. Humble, just humility, the compassion and wisdom that you have, and that we as a church would submit to their leadership and grow even more in respect and love and care and concern, that we would do that blessing of protection of them and keep them covered. God bless you. We love you. We love you so very, very much. We love you so very much. You're so good. Today, as we look in our lesson, we're going to look and pray that God would just open our hearts and our minds to his word. Today, we're talking about the parable of the lost sheep. And I believe that God has something in every sermon, every Bible study for all of us. We open our hearts and we just receive something from him, and he blesses us. That expectation alone, just expecting something from God. And sometimes it comes in ways that we would have never imagined, or through a vessel that we would have never imagined. That's why we try not to judge. We don't want to judge people. We don't want to judge the outside. God, he is the judge. And he sees that inward part. And he knows. He knows where each one of us is this morning. The struggles that we've had, the things we've concerned ourselves with, where our heart is, where our attention is every morning when we get up, where our attention is every night before we go to bed. He knows. He cares. And I know his spirit is continually drawing us, wooing us. Come back to me. I want that relationship. Even if it's been for 24 hours and you've been so busy, come back, you know? Just that relationship. Today we're looking at, in the text, is Luke chapter 15, verse 3. And this is Jesus speaking. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Wow. The icebreaker today is, have you ever been separated from a family member, or have you ever been lost from a family member? And of course, we've had a good, I don't want to say good, but we had an experience in the last year here as a church family, and we know how much that affected everybody in our church and in our community. In our nation, there were people all over, in our world. There was such a great network of resources and prayer. But have you ever had that feeling yourself personally where you were lost? Yes. Did anyone want to share that experience this morning? And Jordan's like, no. No. When our children were a lot smaller, we would go up to the Sportsman Show in Anchorage. Yeah. And what we did was we would have this little family meeting before we walked in, and we would have like a landmark, and it was usually some statue at the front of the building, we would just have this meeting where we said, if any of us are lost, please go directly to this spot, because this is where it's at. We're going to show you where it's at so you can know where to get to. And thank God we never lost any of our children. But if they were, I would hope that they would go to that spot, because, you know, they could run around everywhere looking for help, and then we never know where they're at. But we did that. I want to tell you a story today. And this story starts with excitement as a family is preparing for a vacation, a trip to the big city. I've never lived in a large city. I don't know if any of you ever have. You have, yeah. But there's this excitement, there's this busyness, there's sounds. So the whole family had been very excited, anxiously waiting for this time to come. So many fun things to do that they would even be staying in the big hotel that went up high into the sky, so tall. They could look up and it would reach way up into the heavens. It didn't seem like it was ever going to happen, but the suitcases were finally loaded and the trunks of the car, the children were inside, the back seat, everything's full. You know that fun, exciting anticipation? Yes, we're going. Of course, that whole entire ride, you know, there's excitement, there's shouting, there's singing, there's what are we going to see? Let's feed the ducks in the park. Remember that glass elevator that goes up that tall, tall building? The dinosaur museum, shopping and more shopping, all the chatter, right? It's like this time is passing by as you go by each mile to get to this destination. After they get to the hotel and the luggage is all unloaded and taken up to their room, which is amazing, right? They were oohing and aahing at the huge statue in the lobby. And yes, the children even got to ride up in that glass elevator, which I have this fear of heights. And whenever I've done that, it just gives me this weird sinking feeling in my stomach. It doesn't feel very good to me. I think I'd rather be enclosed and then just not know. But, you know, after story and after prayer time, the children were tucked snugly in their beds. And no, this is not a Christmas story. But there was so much excitement building up that it was hard to fall asleep just with all the things that they were going to get to do. The next morning, bright and early. Children have a way of getting everybody up very early. After that good breakfast in the big hotel, they decided to walk around and see what kind of shopping they could find. They were going to have the best day, and they did. Father had said to them, you know, don't wander off. Stay together. Don't go do looking on your own. Just stay all together. And all the windows were lovely. You look at those and you think, do they have like these fabulous little elves or decorators constantly changing and designing? And it's wonderful. The aromas of all the food, the breads, the restaurants, just all of the t-shirt shops, souvenir shops, just so exciting. And Mom wanted to do her thing, see some fun things, shopping. So she got to do that. Well, they all enjoyed their time. They had a great time buying things, looking. But there was a huge problem when they were all to meet outside after they had synchronized their watches. One of them was missing. Little Christy, the youngest, wasn't sure where, they didn't know where she was. And the other children were there. They had just been to the sporting goods store, so they went back, looked in the sporting goods store, thinking she'd be there, looked in every store around that they had walked past, asked every cashier if they'd seen Christy. They had talked to the security guard at the hotel. They even stopped a police officer, but no one had seen Christy. Frantically, they searched the other side of the street, in and out, store after store, and the parents were just, you could imagine their anxiety and fear. Where could she be? I mean, there's so many things for small children. And then they went back to the section in the store where the toy department was. And they heard this little crying, this little whimpering. And it was Christy. Without wasting a moment, Mom and Dad, of course, just ran to Christy, grabbed her and hugged her and kissed her and held her and so glad to see her and that hugging tightly and thank God she's here. We found her. She's not lost. She's with us. I can't even imagine what would grip a heart of a parent knowing that your child was missing. It's sickening. It's really sickening. They were so glad that they found her. Cheer, joy, excitement, and they were able to continue, complete their walk in the park, continue their fun day, continue their great vacation. I segue with that story into our Bible story today, where Jesus was gathered around a group of people, and he was telling them a story, and what he wanted them to know is how much he loved them. So this story, he was telling them a story of a shepherd who loves the sheep. And this shepherd, I'm just imagining he would very much love the sheep and take them the sheep to pastures that were green and lush and good grasses to feed on, good water places to drink from, fresh. They're not going to get sick, just really good springs. And the shepherd would take each year and shear that sheep in the summer so the sheep wasn't too hot in the winter, fall, like right now. Let that wool grow a little bit so they could be a little cozy and warm, you know, as winter approached. The shepherd loved the sheep, loved it, even would give the sheep names, probably like we do with our pets. We have special names. We might have a given name for our pet, and then our pet gets nicknames on top of the given name. And that's so funny and so true. So I'm sure that he would recognize these sheep, the shepherd, and have a little special name. And that sheep would know the shepherd's voice, would know his voice. So in the evening, when it was time to be all brought back to a place of safety and shelter, perhaps that shepherd would just even take that little lamb and just give it a squeeze, a hug. Oh, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow. You have good sleepy. You know, I can just imagine. I mean, I love animals, so I can just imagine. You know, and perhaps, you know, that evening when this particular story was being told and Jesus really wanted people to understand that counting, you know, you've got up to 95. I don't know how he counted them in clusters or 95, 6, 97, 98, 99. Where's the 100th one? Well, I think as much as that shepherd loved the sheep, there's got to be like, oh, this sinking, sick feeling in your gut, like, oh, no, where is the sheep? So then it hits him. Whatever he named that little sheep, Fluffy, Curly, whatever he named him, you know, he looks around and that little Fluffy is not there. I mean, could you imagine the heartbreak on that shepherd's heart, knowing that that little sheep was not there to be taken care of in the evening, protected, cared for? Perhaps that's the time they got a little, I don't know, you know, just that special time with the shepherd. So he's not going to just go lay down and have a nice sleep. Nope. No, 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 no. That shepherd is going to go out and look for that little lost one. And what it didn't matter how late it was, how dark it was, what the terrain was like, if it was rocky and cliffs, it didn't matter. He was going to go, of course, because that little one was out there by itself. Not going to leave it out there. Get a lantern because it's dark outside. Interesting enough, that shepherd noticed some rocks when he had that lantern on a covered path, and he thought, I didn't really see that in the daylight. You know, I hope that little lamb is okay. Hope that sheep is okay. But, you know, that calling out, Fluffy, Fluffy. nothing back. But that sheep knows the shepherd's voice. So that shepherd knows that eventually if he keeps calling and calling and calling and that sheep can hear him, there's going to be some noise made by that sheep. Like, I'm here. I'm here. But there was no noise until he did finally come upon that lost sheep. And that sheep would have always come to that shepherd's voice. And that shepherd would continue. It wouldn't matter how long into the night it would be. I don't know, you know, I don't want to say what time. If it was 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 in the morning into daybreak, it wouldn't matter. That shepherd's going to be out there looking for that sheep, calling that sheep's name. But as soon as that sound of that cry of the sheep was made, the shepherd would run quickly, walk fast towards that sheep. And thank God, thank God. You know, thank God, under whatever twisted shrub or darkness the shepherd finds little Fluffy. Fluffy, could you imagine that embrace? I'm so glad to see you. I love you. I just squeeze you. Just the shepherd would gently pick up that little sheep and put it on his shoulders. So happy would the little sheep be to see the shepherd. So happy. Joyfully, the shepherd carries the lamb and reunites with the other sheep. It didn't matter how long he had been out, how exhausted he was. You know what? It didn't matter if he had a hurt leg or arm. That shepherd was going to prop up that sheep and carry that sheep home, because that's what the shepherd does. That takes him back into a place of safety with the other sheep. And in the evening, the shepherd told all the other shepherds, "I found her. I found her. My sheep was lost and I found her. She's been found." Imagine how that shepherd felt after finding that sheep. Man, just the joy and the thank God, just that the little sheep is okay. Imagine how the sheep felt in darkness, maybe its leg was twisted in a branch and it couldn't get out, and it could hear maybe the predators in the distance. It could hear danger and think, "I'm all alone. My shepherd is not here. I'm scared. I'm lonely. I'm anxious." Whatever. But that would have been a wonderful moment when that shepherd found the sheep. And we are likened to sheep. And the Lord is likened and is the good shepherd in this story. Jesus had three parables in Luke chapter 15. The one was of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. And I didn't want to step on any of the others because I know that there's a series that we're going through, so I don't want to step on the next teaching for Sunday morning. So I stopped right with the parable of the lost sheep. But in Luke chapter 15, verse 2, it says that the Pharisees and the scribes were murmuring, saying, "This man, Jesus, receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And Jesus started by asking this question: "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" That man leaves the 99 and seeks that lost sheep until he finds it. How much effort, how much work, how much energy did that take for the shepherd to do that? The man brings the lost sheep back on his shoulders and calls his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him. We find in this lesson, Luke 15:7 says that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Praise God. Praise God. And looking at the perspective or the attitude of God towards his people, we are compared to sheep, right? And if a sheep is lost, he will do whatever it takes to find the lost sheep. And God's attitude of love is love towards us. The Bible makes it clear that God is love. It isn't that God is just loving. This is where people get it so wrong, because they think of the worldly definition of love. But rather, he is the definition of love. God is love. God equals love. He created us. His affections for us are unconditional love. And it both generates and demonstrates love. He does. That endures forever. And Psalm says it like this. Psalms 105 says it like this. It says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Praise God. It could be said like this: "For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Or it could be said like this: for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Praise God. We love him. We trust his word. We grow in faith when we get into this word. And speaking of his fabulous word, we are coming close to the end of our Bible reading for this year. God bless you as you do not grow weary and just continue pressing on in the word. And it's amazing. I'm always just so amazed at how much you can accomplish over the course of a year just by putting a few minutes aside each day. It's really amazing. Praise God. Why would the shepherd leave the 99 remaining sheep to go searching for the one that was lost? Wow. Wow. Yes, he loves us. He's not going to let one of us just be lost. Not one of us. How would it feel like to be the lost sheep at that moment that the shepherd found that sheep? That moment, you probably could go back in your memories and you remember that moment that you had that experience with our Lord. You were lost. We sing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That moment, you know what? We have that moment. There's so many out there that don't have that moment. They need that moment. They need that opportunity. And that's where we are so blessed that we have truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the joy that we can share with others of this new life, this new birth that they don't have. And that's what we have. We can share that. And it's sometimes it's just a simple, very simple. And I love that God doesn't always let like the one person be the person that is beginning and the end. One plants, one waters, and then there is this joyful rejoicing at this redemption of this soul. And I'm so thankful for that. God gets the glory. Amen. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Sheep need a shepherd. And the shepherd's work is to care for the sheep. And that's exactly what the good shepherd does. He cares for the sheep. Sheep need someone to protect, to defend, to guide, provide for them at all times. And that's exactly what we have in our God. And if this is just a little reminder today of what God does in our lives for us, let it be a great reminder, because the world will try to take that away from you and make it a dim memory that God does not do this for you. But that's a lie. And it's so good that we can get into the Word of God. And one of the most famous passages of Scripture, Psalms 23. And let's just read that today. Psalms 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The parable of the lost sheep remind each and every one of us that we are precious. We are precious to him. I read something this past week that said, when I'm not feeling, it was kind of like paraphrase, but when I'm not feeling so fabulous or wonderful in who I am in Christ, I remember to straighten my crown and remember who I am in Jesus Christ. We are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who created and made us in his image. We are his. You know what? It's so amazing. Psalms 139:13 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Praise God. He leaves the 99 in that safe place, and he goes to find that one lost sheep because that sheep is so precious to him. It's so important to him. We are important to the Lord. Isaiah 43:1 teaches us that we can have this confidence in the Lord, that Jesus loves me. When you were in Sunday school, you sang it, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We sang it, we shouted it, we danced about when we, you know, in circles, we sang it and we just were excited. It's still true. Jesus loves me. He loves me. I am cherished by him. Cherished. What does that word evoke in your mind? Cherished. That's amazing. He knows me by name. He sees my heart, and he knows what lies in the very deepest part of my soul. He knows me. Isn't that a beautiful, just beautiful to know that the Lord of creation, our God, knows us and cares about us and loves us. We are that precious to him. We are so precious to him. And that's where I was like, don't let the lies of the enemy come into your soul, because it's opposite of God. He desires to steal, kill, and destroy. Destroy your faith, destroy your hope, destroy your life. Make you feel like you are not worth the ground that you were made from. That's what he does. But those are lies, because we read and we have great hope when we look in the Word of God in, for example, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise God. This parable really was in response to, in many ways, the accusations of the Pharisees and the scribes, who were complaining that Jesus was fellowshipping with sinners. Help us, Lord. Jesus often used parables to teach a moral lesson. And these stories were powerful ways to teach, and people's lives were changed. They understood. Even in that first meeting in Luke chapter 15, people that were there, the scribes, the Pharisees, others, heard the same message, right? Not everyone got it. Isn't that kind of, we can all go to church and hear the same message, but God, thank God, he opens up our understanding. He gives us wisdom. He speaks his word to our heart. It's quickened in our spirit. And that is for somebody who is desiring, just so much desiring God's blessing, anointing, to hear his voice, to do his will. Like the Lord's Prayer. Do his will. Lord, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will. Thy will, Lord. They murmured, they complained, the scribes and the Pharisees. Luke chapter 15, verse 4. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost and find it And that imagery of the shepherd just loving and caring for his sheep to go out seeking no matter what. We don't know the circumstances of that, the weather that day, the land, the terrain. We don't know. We just know that he went. And he went until he found the sheep. John 10, 11, and 14 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Exactly. And the psalmist David introduced God as the one who leads the sheep beside the still waters in paths of righteousness. In this scripture passage, we see God as the provider. Is he your provider still today in 2023? As our leader, as our comforter, is he your comforter today? As our refuge, we can run to him. We can fall at his feet and we can say, Lord, I need you. Your perfect will in my life, covering, protection. I love that in Psalms 23, where David was talking, he said, God restores our weary and worn out souls. Feel weary sometimes doing the work of God, just weary. He restores our souls. I'm glad he didn't say just one thing, like he restores our bodies, which would be great, or our spirits. He said he restores our souls. What is the most important thing that we could be building right now on this earthly time? Our souls. Because one day we're going to have a resting place for our soul. And pray to God that we have that hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ in a place that we know is heaven. His sheep do not want for any good thing because the shepherd takes care and knows exactly what is longing for. He leads us to places where we can find rest. Hallelujah. We can have sustenance. We can be sustained. He directs our paths. He directs where we go. He gives us certain direction in the paths of righteousness for his will and his glory. Amen. I love that he guides us. Thank God. Thank God. Because we can guide ourselves to many different places and things. And I love that he guides us. Not only does he guide us through places of, I'm going to say, wonder and splendor, because he does, but he also guides us in our valleys and in our disappointments. He is with us. So if you are in that valley today, I'm just going to remind you, he is with you. He is for you. He loves you, cares for you. If you had wandered off in Sterling, okay, maybe not. We won't go there. He's going to come after you, and he's wooing you, drawing you, looking for you. And you know what? I'm going to say for all of us that have family that are not sitting here with us today in this church or any other church, he is wooing and drawing and calling, and he is for your lost loved one. He loves them so much. He has never stopped, never stopped. And he will never stop. Just know that. He will never stop. Luke 15:5 says, and when he found the sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. And that's what heaven is like when one sinner repents. Rejoicing. We have this great, great, great joy also. We can celebrate with the angels. We can celebrate with heaven when we have brothers and sisters that are coming to a place of repentance. When we come to a place of repentance, again, each day, praise God, that place of, Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be right. I want to repent of whatever may be between me and you every day. I don't want there to be anything, because we know how that started and happened in the garden, right? You know, just that whatever it can be, it can just be right. It can be anything that separates us from God. Yeah. Even though the sheep might have been heavy to carry, the shepherd rejoiced at carrying the sheep. Rejoiced. That added burden wasn't a burden. It was a pleasure because it was worth every effort because the shepherd had found the sheep. It was worth the effort. It didn't matter. Consider the alternative. When that shepherd went out to find that last 100th sheep, what happened? What kind of walk home would that have been if some wild animal had torn his Fluffy? No more love for Fluffy. No more hugs, no more sweet touches and saying, I'll see you in the morning, I love you, you're the sweetest little lamb. You know, that would have been a horrible walk home. That would have been terrible. Genesis 1:31 tells us that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In creation, God was so glad for all that he had made. He said it was very good. He'd made oceans, animals, trees, flowers, beautiful flowers. I mean, beautiful things. However, there was something missing. He breathed into the dust and created humanity. And what has humanity done through the decades and years is let him down. Yet, he still loves so much. There's still so much love. And you know what he's still saying? It is very good. It's very good. Even after disobeying God in the Garden of Eden, God still came looking for Adam and Eve. He did not stop seeking them because they had disobeyed. He still yearned for their relationship, yearned for that conversation, yearned for that time together. Yes, they had disobeyed, and yet God was still calling out their names. Adam, Eve, it's time for fellowship. Let's snuggle. You know, it's time for that special time. Jesus is always reaching. He's still reaching. Thank God he's still reaching in 2023. Reaching down to pick us up when we fall, put us on his shoulders. Because nothing is too heavy for the good shepherd. Because he carries the weight of the world on his shoulders. He can carry our weights. We have things that weigh us down. He can carry those. I'm so thankful. He loved us before we ever loved him. Absolutely. The greatest love story of all is when God prepared a body for himself and came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ, manifest in the flesh. Praise God. So thankful. It's hard for us to imagine the depth of God's love for us. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I'm going to run to that. In Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 21, says this, and I'm going to close with this. 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise God. God bless you today. Let's praise the Lord and enjoy this Sunday fellowship. Amen.